end-to-end process. All these things, preliminary stage we have seen. We have seen the implementation phase. Now, actual process starts. The process of merger and acquisition actually flow. Flow-wise, the systematic sequence of the steps that integrate the strategic, financial, legal, and operational dimensions. These end-to-end process flow can be seen as this one. Now, here if you see, there are around the steps. The steps, one by one if you go, then there will be first thing under process flow, strategy and targeting, that is deal thesis and shortlisting. Once that process is completed, company can move for initial contract, that is non-disclosure agreement. Then thereafter, the next stage will be diligence, that is multi-stream due diligence, management, presentation, and the site visits. Then there will be valuation and bid bonding, other prices, and protection for the MAC and callers, definitive arrangements, which is consist of SPA, SSA, and SHA, or the scheme papers, regulatory path, which consists of CCI, SEBI, RBI, NCL, etc. Then financing of the hedging is another step, and the pre-close is readiness and the day one preparation, day one operation model, TSA or communication. There will be, then after finally, there will be a closing, funds and securities flows, escrow release, filing happens. Post-merger integration, that is PMI, will be 100 to 100 days plan that must be there, and the synergy should be captured and TSA is executed and benefits are getting tracked. This is overall scenario of process flow, of end-to-end process flow of merger. Let us see one by one. The end-to-end process flow can be explained by considering number one, strategic intent and planning. Define the strategic objective, that is growth, diversification, synergy, market expansion, and distressed assets acquisition. Conduct market industry analysis. Then set a financial operation goal and establish merger and acquisition task force for committee. Number two, target identification and initial screening. Target organization, shortlist the potential targets based on the strategic fit. Number three, valuation and preliminary negotiation. Apply the valuation method. Which method you are applying? DCF, comparable companies, transaction multiples, or asset-based approach you are applying, that needs to be determined. Then there will be consider Indian valuation norms from the income tax point of view, enter preliminary negotiation to align the expectation, and sign the initial documents as a letter of intent and term sheet. Next stage will be the due diligence, which consists of financial due diligence, legal due diligence, commercial due diligence, technical and IP due diligence, HR and cultural due diligence, and tools like virtual data room, VDR, and AI-based risk analytics are increasingly used. Structuring the deal. Now, once the deal is finalized, now deal has to be structured. Decide the form of transaction, whether it is merger, whether it is demerger, whether it is share purchase, whether it is asset purchase or slump sale. That you have to decide first. Then choose the financing structure. How the funds will be moved. Is it cash, stock, swap, or debt financing or hybrid financing? Then you have to consider the tax efficiency and compliance with the Indian Transfer Pricing Act, that is GST law. And thereafter, you ensure the alignment with the FEMA guidelines for cross-border payments. This is, and sixth stage will be regulatory approval. Then you approach to board of directors approval, you obtain. then shareholders approval you obtain, NCLT approval you obtain for scheme of merger and demerger, SEBI approval for listed companies you have to go, CCI approval, that is Competition Commission, for combination of cross to prevent an anti-competitive practices, that is Competitive Commission. Then RBI and FEMA approval is required for the cross-border transaction, and sectoral approval from either IRDA or RBI or NBFC or Department of Telecommunication for telecom, etc. Seventh stage is negotiation and agreement. Finalize the term of the deal, price, consideration, payment mode, the presentation, warranties, indemnities, draft and sign the definitive agreement, that is share purchase agreement, merger agreement, business transfer agreement. Then closing the deal. How you will close the deal? Fulfill the precedent conditions, that is compliance, approval, third party consent. Execute the transfer of shares and assets. File the statutory forms like MCA forms, MGT7, PAS3, INC28, these are the specific forms that you have to file. Then update the shareholding record with the stock exchanges if listed. Issue the public announcement in case of open offer under SEBI SAST regulation. Next step will be the post-merger integration. Post-merger integration is a PMI. Align all the system, process and technology platform, consolidate financial and reporting structure, manage workforce integration, monitor the synergy realization and post-deal performance report, and use modern tools such as ERP integration, AI-based synergy tracking and digital HR system. Next one will be monitoring and evaluation. Conduct a post-transaction audit. Review the financial performance against projections, identify the gaps in integration and synergy capture, and prepare the regulatory filing and continuous disclosures to the stakeholders. Negotiated deal. Sometimes is very important to understand this because tactics and mechanics are very important. Not all the mergers and acquisition transactions happens through the hostile takeovers or market purchases. In most Indian and the global context, merger and acquisitions are executed through the negotiated deals most of the time, where both the parties agrees on the term and structure of the transactions. Now, how this happens? In case of negotiated deal, merger and acquisition happens, then nature of negotiated deal. Negotiated deal involves discussion between the acquiring company and the target company. It is more collaborative than the hostile acquisition. And such deals are common in India due to family-owned and promoter-driven structure of companies. Tactics in negotiated deal. What tactics should be applied? One, anchoring the valuation tactics. That means the acquirer may set an initial anchor price based on the DCF method, comparables, and strategic value. Seller may counter with a higher valuation based on the growth potential, and middle ground is found through the earnout, performance linked pricing or stock swaps. Then control of information, that is virtual data room, can be used to control the flow of sensitive data. Time pressure and deadlines, imposing the tight timelines that can push other party into faster concession. Seller may create a competitive bidding environment to extract the better value. Then deal sweeteners and trade-offs. Deal sweeteners means acquirer may offer board seat. Acquirer may offer a board seat or management role or retention packages for the promoters, and the sellers may agree to non-compete clause or brand transition arrangement. Walkaway strategy. Both parties must establish a reservation point, minimum acceptable terms, to be ready to walk away if not met. Then mechanics and negotiated deals. Mechanics of negotiated deal. There should be a preliminary arrangement. Preliminary arrangement is consisting of letter of intent or the term sheet. that need to be issued. Then non-disclosure agreement ensures the protection and sensitive information. And then exclusivity agreement, which prevents the seller from negotiating with other for the defined period. Definitive arrangement. Definitive arrangement is a share purchase agreement or shareholders agreement or business transfer agreement or scheme of arrangement agreement. The payment mechanics consist of cash consideration, stock swap or hybrid consideration and earned out, that is additional payment which is linked to post-deal performance. Next one will be risk allocation mechanics. This is a representation warranties, indemnities, escrow arrangement and material adverse changes, etc. Post-closing covenant consists of non-compete and non-solicit clauses. Promoters lock in for the period of ensuring the smooth transactions and the management continuity agreements for key personnel. Now, role of regulators in negotiated deal. Role of regulators is SBI Takeover Code. If acquirer buys more than 25% share of the listed companies, which is a mandatory open offer for 26%, must follow. In NCLT, approval scheme should be merger or demerger. Under Companies Act, CCI ensures deal does not create any anti-competitive concentration. RBI and FEMA regulates cross-border payments pricing norm and ODI-FDI compliance. Sectoral regulators, IRDI, TRI, DOT and others may require the approval depending upon the industry. The best practices followed in negotiated deal consist of clarity of objective, balanced risk sharing, use of independent advisors, technology adoption and cultural sensitivity. Best example for the negotiated deal is Reliance Retail's acquisition of Future Group's assets in 2020-22. Initially, it was structured as a negotiated deal through slump sale, agreed with the Future Groups, including complex covenant and a liability brand use and a employee transfer. Deal faced the legal disputes, with the Amazon showing the importance of the watertight negotiation and contractual protections. What is important here is, for any merger and acquisition, there should be a develop an integration plan, that is a post-merger design. Post-merger integration plan. Now everything is done. Now there will be a post-merger integration, how it will happen. One of the most critical determinant of merger and acquisition success is not the deal negotiation, but it happens after the transaction closes. Because 60 to 70% mergers fail due to deliver expected synergies, due to poor integration planning. Therefore, a robust post-merger integration design is essential. It ensures that acquiring and target companies are blended into unified value-creating entity while minimizing the disruption to their operations, employees, customers, and regulators. Objective of post-merger integration. Objective for doing the post-merger integration design is capture the synergies, ensure business continuity, align the culture and the people, comply with the regulation, and enhance the shareholders' value. The key phases of integration, post-merger integration planning. Pre-closure planning from integration management office before the deal closure. Identify day one priority, critical task for first 100 days. Prepare detailed integration playbooks. Secure the regulatory clearance. Day one readiness is communicate the deal to the employees, regulators, suppliers, and customers. Announce new leadership structure, ensure the continuity of operations, and begin execution of the retention plan for the key talents. First 100-day execution will be launch quick win project to show early synergy, integrate the financial system for the consolidated reporting, start HR harmonization, and identify the cultural difference and the address through the leadership workshop. Long-term negotiation is a 6 months to 24 months. Full operational integration, brand integration, customers and market alignment, and continuous synergy tracking and performance reporting. Functional integration design. Under functional integration design, there will be a strategy and governance. Establish the integration steering committee with the senior leaders from both the entities. Define decision rights and the governance framework. Align long-term strategy vision. Next one will be the financial integration. Consolidate account and financial reporting under IND AS, that is accounting standard. Align treasury management, tax planning for the set off or accumulated losses or MAT credits or GST integration. Operational integration consists of supply chain optimization, that is vendor rationalization, logistic and consolidation, IT and digital system integration, rationalization of the facilities plants, human capital culture, which consists of identifying and retaining the key talent, HR policy compensation, then manage the cultural integration like family-owned or promoter-driven firms and create a change management program to reduce employee resistance. Legal and compliance issues that can be filed necessarily to NCLT, SEBI, CCI, RBI and sectoral approaches as the case may be. Update licenses, contracts and statutory regulations, implement compliance monitoring system, that is whistleblowing, audit trails and corporate governance. Synergy tracking and performance management consists of key performance indicator, that is KPI, is required to be defined for the synergy realization. Integration dashboard need to be prepared for digitally enabled tools to track the progress. Synergy champions are responsible for achieving the targets and conduct quarterly review and recalibrate integration priorities. Challenges in integration planning. There are challenges, regulatory delay, getting approval from the regulators, delay. Then second one will be labor and union issues that may crop up. Then there will be cultural clashes, that is promoter driven versus professionally managed. Then technology gaps and cross-border issues. Best practice in post-merger integration design will be plan early, execute fast. Then communicate transparently with the employees, customer and regulators. Balance speed and sensitivity. Use technology and focus on culture. The best example here is HDFC Bank and HDFC Limited, which is the largest merger in India's financial sector. Integration and regulatory framework, that is banking and housing finance, they have come together. There was a massive operational integration, customer account, loan portfolio, IT system, etc. HR integration of 1.6 lakhs employees and post-merger integration design focused on day one readiness and cultural alignment and the customer communication to ensure the smooth transactions. Obtain the approval from the close deal is another issue that has to be discussed. The culmination of merger and acquisition transaction occurs when the parties successfully obtain all the necessary approvals and close the deal. This stage is not merely a procedural formality, but a critical compliance, financial and strategic checkpoint. Okay. So, significance of approval and closing. There was a significance. What is the significance of approval and closing? Ensure regulatory compliance under corporate competition, securities and foreign exchange law. Reduce the risk of the legal challenges, penalties and reversals. Provide certainty and stakeholders. Mark the effective transfer of ownership and control. The type of approval which is required here is tabulated here, and that is in chronological order that you can see. There will be first board approval from both the side, both the companies. They should have, their board should approve the program of merger or acquisition. Then thereafter, the shareholders' approval, special resolution for related party and preferential issues and the schemes. Then NCLT transaction schemes for ROC filing, which will be followed by SEBI, SAST, open offer communication and LODR disclosures. This will be followed by CCI, that is clearance and remedy implementation, if any. Then RBI and FEMA filing for FCGPR, FCTRS or ODI downstream investment, and finally the sectoral approval from or NOC and other lenders. These are the types of approval that is required. In chronological order, they have to, we have to approve, we have to get the approval before proceeding further. Now, shareholders approval, regulatory approval, Reserve Bank of India approval, National Competition Law Tribunal, sectoral regulators, government and FIPB approvals, these third party contractual approvals, etc., that we have seen. Then closing mechanics and closing deliverables also we have to take into consideration. Under closing mechanics, the condition precedents are very important. Clearance from the regulators, right? And closing deliverables is a signing of final agreement with the stakeholders. Then escrow and indemnities. This is very important because escrow is forming the portion of the consideration that may be placed in the escrow account to cover the post-closing adjustment. Then challenges in India, regulatory delay, cross-border restriction, shareholder resistance and litigation risk. Case example is Adani Group, acquisition of Polycom stake and Ambuja Cement. You may very well refer this case in your text. It is very important. Now, the best practices for the smooth closing is engage the regulator early, track all the CPs via closing the checklist, maintain escrow mechanism, transparent communication, and have a contingency plan for delays or conditional approvals. Implementation integration. Implement integration. Now, implementing the integration is very important. Operating integration, finance, HR, these must be integrated on the top priority. Then commercial, which consists of unified pricing, cross-sell programs, etc. Then supply chain, vendor rationalization and demand planning integration, inventory policy should be aligned. Legal and compliance issue should be addressed by way of the policy convergence. Then Indian regulatory system technology touch points. Quick reference is a SEBI, then Competition Act, CCI, FEMA, RBI, Tax, Income Tax Act. IBC 2016, distressed acquisition via resolution, and sectoral as well as for market infrastructure, the stock exchange approval is observation, structural is RBI, and sorry, not structural, sectoral through the RBI and DPIT or DOT or TRAI, IRDI, etc. These are the companies engaged. Market infrastructure is a stock exchange approval, observation, letter for the schemes, depository, etc. Now, risk register, typical for industry, typical for the Indian merger and acquisition, consists of this risk register for risk areas, and examples as well as mitigation covenants are given here in this table. First, you can look at the first column. There will be regulatory time, public market volatility, FEMA FDI non-compliance, tax exposures, contract consultants, contract consents, then cyber data, cultural retention, security, synergy shortfall, and integration slippage. For each and everything, you may please go through this table. For each risk area, the example is given, and against that, there will be a mitigation or control measures are also given here. You may please refer this table for your better understanding and explanation followed in your textbook. Thank you very much.